Good evening, everybody. Welcome you all to midweek service of the Grace Community Church in Lagos, Nigeria. It's our Bible study, and we've been on a series in the last few months looking at the help of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. The section we've been on has been on the giftings of the Spirit, and we ended that section last week. For about 7 weeks, consecutively, we were looking at the phenomena of the gift of the Spirit in the life of the believer. We ended last week looking at how we can identify the gifts of the Spirit in our lives individually. And this week, we'll be moving on to something that is also in the same sphere of the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's something we've titled the manifestation of the Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit. Now, these phenomena, to me, really are a subclass of the Spirit's giftings, but particularly mentioned in Scripture at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 by the term manifestation of the Spirit. We find that precisely in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. And if you do have your Bible, I'll ask you to turn there with me as we read that verse of Scripture. I'm reading from the KJV today, and it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, today, what we'll really be doing is giving some introductory thoughts from Scripture, and then from next week we can build on that and try as much as possible to define the different descriptions that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 of these experiences or phenomena that are termed manifestation of the Spirit. Okay, now first, it's important to point out that this word manifestation that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is from the Greek word phanerosis. Phanerosis. And what this word means is essentially an exhibition, an unveiling, or to make something visible or observable. To make something visible or observable. And so if we were to draw from common life, the examples that we'll find would be, for instance, the energy of electricity in a bulb will be manifested in the light and heat that comes from the bulb. All right. So we all know that there's electricity in a bulb, right? Passing through a bulb. But it will be manifested in the light and heat that comes from the bulb. I'm a doctor, so I can go back into medical science to try and give an example as well. People develop infections, probably viral infections. But you see, the manifestation of the viral infection will be by fever or a rash. And some other features. I'll give you an instance. In this current pandemic, there's the COVID infection that's been spreading all over the world. The manifestation of the COVID infection will be by particular symptoms. In this case, dry cough, fever, sore throat, and loss of taste and loss of smell, in addition to some other features. And in all these examples, the manifestation are a display of the presence of an entity. One can't see the electricity or the energy of electricity. One can't see a virus. One can't see the coronavirus with the naked eye. But one can see the light or the heat that comes from a bulb. And so we will know that there's electricity present in that bulb. And in the same way, one can't see the virus, but you can't see the rashes. You can see the fever. And then you will know that that viral infection is present. In the same way, the Holy Spirit is unseen. But he makes his presence known and shows his presence in different ways that are described or termed the manifestation of the Spirit. Today, it's important to make a few general points, and then we can proceed next week. Point number one, if you have a jotter, is that each and every Christian can experience the manifestation of the Spirit because each Christian has the Holy Spirit. I'll say that again. Each and every Christian can experience the manifestation of the Spirit because each Christian has the Holy Spirit. Many Christians may have never manifested the gifts of the Spirit in a way that they themselves recognize. And this may make them doubt that they can. And we hope that this aspect of our study will help all of us to embrace the reality that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, like 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 says. And it's important for us to embrace this reality. You may never have experienced it in the way that you think or in the way that you recognize. But it's important to recognize or to see that this is a reality that the scripture describes for us. And it's actually a part and parcel of our lives. And the fact of the matter is that to make sure that things in the church are done decently and in order, the Lord, by His Spirit, energizes different manifestations of the Spirit in different believers. We will read and study more of that. Number two, the manifestation of the Spirit is for the common good. I'll say that again. The manifestation of the Spirit is for the common good. The manifestation of the Spirit is for the benefit of the body, the assembly, or the church. The manifestation of the Spirit is not given to massage anybody's personal ego. It's not given to impress or to show off. You see, apparently in the Corinthian church, there were some issues in this regard, as it appears that some members of that church had turned the manifestation of the Spirit to some personal spectacle. And so, in fact, Paul wrote to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from above chapter 11, going on to chapter 14, to correct that problem. But you see, it's also important to recognize this. This is the other side of it. Some benefit is missed, or there's some consequence when Christians do not walk in the manifestation of the Spirit as they are supposed to. And also, we need to recognize that we lose the benefit when the manifestation of the Spirit is misused. Let me point you to some instances that occurred for us or written for us in the book of Acts. And you can just imagine what would have happened or what the outcomes would have been if the individuals concerned had not walked in the manifestation of the Spirit. Look at the book of Acts chapter 9. We will point to a few, and then we will close today. Acts chapter 9. This is the story of the experience that Ananias had with Paul. Ananias, not Ananias and Sapphira, but the good man Ananias. Ananias, Acts chapter 9 from verse 10. It says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, And had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, and to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17, And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now, can you just imagine what would have happened, or what the outcome would have been, if Ananias had not walked in this manifestation of the Spirit? First, he heard from the Lord, and not only that, he then went ahead to pray for Paul, and there was healing for Paul's sight, and Paul received his sight immediately. That would have, it would have been a different outcome had Ananias not walked in the manifestation of the Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 10, the very next chapter in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10. Remember, it's Bible study. Acts chapter 10. I'm not sure. Can we read this whole chapter? It's going to be a long one. But you see, what happened here was Peter's experience in the house of Cornelius. Peter had an encounter with Cornelius' household. And eventually, there was salvation of the first set of non-Jews outside Jerusalem, Acts chapter 10. In the first instance, Peter first had a vision. And then after his vision, the Lord spoke to him. And then he went ahead, in obedience to the vision he had seen and to the voice of the Lord, went ahead and then went to Cornelius' household, and he preached the gospel to them. And that was actually the very first set of non-Jews outside Jerusalem who received the gospel. Again, can you just imagine what the outcome would have been if Peter, one, had not even seen a vision, or he had not heard from the Lord and had not obeyed what God had told him? Now, that experience that Peter had was another manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit showing himself present in Peter's life in that regard. The next one, let's read Acts chapter 20. We can read that. There's a few verses. Acts chapter 20. I'm going to read from verse 9. Acts chapter 20. You know, this story is really something that always makes me laugh. You know, for all these guys, all these people, you know, I see people during service or in church meetings and Christian programs who are dozing off, and I'm like, wow, just don't be in the position of Eutychus. Okay, so Paul was at Troas. And while he was at Troas, he was speaking to them. If we read from verse 7, it says, On the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Paul preached unto them. He was ready to depart the next day, and he continued his speech until midnight. Verse 8, And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. Verse 9, And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. That was a disaster. It was bad enough, right? You know, and you know, don't be like Eutychus. Don't sleep off during service. Don't sleep off while the word is being preached. Eutychus slept off and he fell and died. That was a terrible disaster. Terrible one. But verse 10, And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. Verse 12, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Just imagine what would have happened if there hadn't been that resurrection power in action in the life of Paul at that moment. So the story would have been someone went for a program, or someone went to meet the great apostle. Yeah, he was bad enough, he slept, but then he fell and he died and nothing happened. That would have been bad. But because of the operation of the power of the Holy Spirit, Eutychus was raised back to life. The final one I want us to look at is in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. From verse 16. Acts chapter 16 from verse 16. Again, it's a long story, so I'm just going to focus on a certain aspect of the story. So, of course, what had happened here was that Paul and his companions were in Philippi. From verse 13, we read that on the Sabbath they went out of the city by a riverside where people always prayed. And they sat down and spoke with the women who were usually there. And then there was a lady named Lydia, the purple seller, and all that. Lydia was baptized. But verse 16, and it came to pass, Acts chapter 16 from verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought our masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So you see another operation of the Holy Spirit in the life of Paul in this instance. First, it was even a descending of spirits, and then the authority to command that spirit to come out. Again, a manifestation of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of Paul. And you can just imagine what the outcome would have been if Paul did not walk in this reality. In the same way, I am saying it's important for us to recognize, just as 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 says, that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every believer, and it is for common profit. And so, whether or not you've ever had this experience in a way that you recognize, I want you to realize that it is the reality of the new life in Christ Jesus, where the Spirit has been given to us, and we can have experiences where the Holy Spirit is showing forth His presence in our lives in different ways. The second thing to recognize is that it is for the common good. It is not for show off. It is not to massage our ego. It is not to show that we are great men. It is not to show that we are superior Christians. It is simply to show forth the presence of the living God in our lives and in the assembly of the saints. Next week, we will continue as we look at some other introductory thoughts before we then go on to define the different descriptions of these various manifestations that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Thank you for joining in. Enjoy the rest of the evening. Enjoy the rest of your week. And don't forget, join us on Friday as we pray at 9:45 p.m. And then again on Sunday for our Sunday service at 9 a.m. Thank you very much.